Joan Collins and the Queen. They follow, of course, what happened on the 8th of December last year, when a 91-year-old British grandmother became the first person in the world to be given the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. This is part of the UK's mass vaccination program. As I say, other famous and well-known people have also been vaccinated. The rollout of the UK, I think, provides some lessons for ours whenever that might begin. And we thought we'd catch up with somebody who's keeping an eye on it. We're joined now by Professor of Virology at UCL. That's University College London, Professor Dinan Pillay. Prof, good morning to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Good morning, Bongani, and to your listeners.
Let's talk about the UK's vaccination rollout program. It is obviously an ambitious one. The Prime Minister has admitted it. The Health Minister has said that it won't be easy, but they will try to get it done. They're hoping to get 14.6 million people vaccinated by middle of next month.
That's right. The priority that has been outlined by an independent advisory board is that the highest risk individuals, particularly the elderly, together with healthcare workers, are in the phase one of this rollout of some 14, 15 million by February. A very ambitious target. I should say that the Queen and Joan Collins classify as high risk purely because of their age, not because of any other status they have here. To date, something like just over a million doses have been given, primarily of the Pfizer vaccine. The AstraZeneca vaccine has just made it into GP surgeries and vaccine centres this week.
So, I mean, it is an ambitious target, as we both say. Do you think you'll be able to do it?
Well, I hope so. I have to say that the UK government response to COVID has not, they've not covered themselves in glory to date. There's been a continual battle between taking effective public health action against the perceived risks to the economy, not unlike the debate that's been going on in your country, in South Africa. Having said that, they are yet again in the midst of a disaster here. We have just hit the 100,000 deaths over the last couple of days after the chief science officer said right at the beginnings of the pandemic that if we kept it under 20,000, that would be a good outcome. Well, it's clearly not been a good outcome. So at the same time as there is vaccine rollout going on at the moment, there's also record numbers of infections. We're seeing this resurgence as you are, particularly with new variants that seem to be more transmissible. So it is essential that we do get the rollout underway. Having said that, and as we've learned around the world, the response to this is not just single pronged. It's not just the vaccine coming to save us. It is a whole range of public health measures, social distancing, essential services open only, and of course, a very good testing system which allows people to be identified as potential transmitters and to isolate them and to support them to isolate. All of those things will be important for the next months.
Absolutely. Containment strategies and other interventions are crucial. One of the things that's been really surprising about how all of this has unfolded is how often the countries that do have better resources seem to be the ones that are struggling the most. You could arguably say that South Africa was best positioned on this continent to contain the spread of the virus. We haven't. We've had some of the worst outcomes. Similarly, we're seeing that kind of picture in the UK. We're seeing the same thing in the US. What can you tell us about what you think has gone wrong with your fight, your country's fight against COVID-19?
Well, that's a very good perceptive observation, Bongani, and I completely agree with it, that the countries that have done well, even in Europe, think of a country like Greece, which is not economically strong, but nevertheless has dealt with this better. Vietnam, obviously the Far East, many countries in the Far East have done well. And I think the thing that's characterized These are many. There's not just one answer, but they include, for instance, having strong trust in scientific leadership rather than the politicization. They're characterized by the lack of a populist approach to politics. Certainly in the UK and the US, you've seen how quickly COVID has been politicized by populist leaders. And of course, there's also the public health infrastructure that is required to deal with this. And in the Far East, for instance, many countries, China, South Korea, Taiwan, witnessed the SARS pandemic, epidemic 20 years ago, and recognized the importance of being able to rapidly clamp down. So, for instance, early on in the pandemic, very early on, South Korea, China had situations where they were rolling out testing widely. They were allowing people asked to isolate to move into hotels to enable that to happen. They were providing financial compensation, temperature checks into all public buildings, etc., etc. And we're still not at that situation in the UK. So I think there are some lessons that we can learn as the world as we come out of this pandemic, one of which is the importance of public health structures, infrastructure that can't just be turned on and off like a tap. It needs to be invested in, and there needs to be trust in the ability of that to protect us.
You're talking about trust. There is still some skepticism around the efficacy, the safety of these vaccines. How are you dealing with those concerns?
There indeed are. And I should just say that there are two, I characterize this in two ways. One are the group of anti-vaxxers, we'd call them, that exist in all countries, who have a whole range of ideological reasons against vaccines. But I think a much larger group are is around vaccine hesitancy. Quite reasonable concerns that vaccines that have been developed very at great speed, that may not have been trialed and tested as vigorously as rigorously as others, they're suddenly being rolled out. And I think in the midst of a pandemic, we have to have some trust in this. But of course, the key thing here is transparency. The key thing is for the population to trust officials when they say that there is benefit here. The key question, of course, is it better to have the vaccine or is it better to have COVID? And of course, I would argue that the vaccine has shown to date to be safe from trials. I should also say that of the Pfizer vaccine that is the first to be rolled out in the UK, after more than a million doses, there have not been no vaccine associated deaths, or as far as I know, very serious adverse effects. So I think that is the case, but to it is transparency. We need to be able to speak to different people's worries. We shouldn't just dismiss them.
Vaccine or COVID, that's the choice before us. I think we couldn't put it better than that. Professor Dinan Pillay, Professor of Virology at the University College London, on the line.